broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for November the 16th in the year of our Lord, 2015. This, my friends, is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founders. It's incredibly simple, ladies and gentlemen. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. After all, it is the rule of law. We also believe the checks and balances put in place by our founders are absolutely brilliant. One of the great solutions for liberty that we have left. You and I can get involved. You and I can make a difference. You and I can absolutely get involved. All right, folks. We talked last hour with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. And Sam recommended three of his favorite Christmas movies, and I thought I'd kind of recap that for you really quick. The three movies are as follows. A Song for the Season is one of them. A Song for the Season. The second one, Christmas Angel. That's Christmas Angel. And the third one is The Christmas Card. The Christmas Card. They're great symbolic movies that talk about Christ, talk about Christmas, talk about his love. Lowell finally sees the movie War Room. He was our guest last hour. War Room, a great movie as well. There's four movies for you. But these movies focus on problems we face as families, communities, individuals, countries. And they talk about love, forgiveness, honesty, just to name a few. And in the War Room in particular, and in many of the other movies as well, prayer is a mighty tool that enables mankind to approach the Creator, to thank him for his tender mercies, and then to opportune him for grace and protection. Wow. So we talked about that last hour quite a bit. We put that in the context of this France situation. Our prayers, speaking of prayer, are for the people in France, particularly the family of those who are dead and or wounded in the terrorist attacks. What they experienced is tragic. We grieve with them, but we must realize that history repeats itself. And seven terrorists trained with illegal weapons murdered everyone. But you know what? France has some of the strictest gun control laws in the world. So strict that even the police are not armed. Can you imagine such a place? I don't even know that I dare go to France. It's so unsafe. The whole country is a gun-free zone, folks. And in every one of these terrorist activities or abuses or someone going off with it, every one of them happens in a gun-free zone. A government gun-free military base, a government school, now a whole country. The first lesson we could and should learn from this is that gun control laws only prevent the innocent from having guns, only prevent the law-abiding from having guns. And had the citizenry been armed in France, the attackers would not have been able to kill more than a few people. They would have been stopped. But they literally shot their guns empty, loaded again, did it again and again and again. Multiple times were they able to calmly reload. Folks, more guns in the hands of innocent, good, law-abiding citizens means less crime. It's that simple and that clear. When are we going to set the standard on the world stage as the founders did, codified in our Second Amendment to the Constitution? ISIS, otherwise known as the Islamic State, they say, claimed responsibility for these acts. But folks, who on earth, I'm going to ask you this very clearly, who on earth created or built or funded or trained or armed ISIS? And the answer, if you really study and dig in, you'll find out. Ask Ron Paul, ask Joel Skousen. Those are incredible researchers that dig into this. The United States government created ISIS, folks. Yeah, the United States government created Al-Qaeda. We need to learn that bombing, droning, killing, fighting, and intervening into the Middle East is just stirring up a hornet's nest, folks. It's disaster. We ought not do it. Wow. It's just crazy. I can't believe that we're really going through this stuff. It's real. It's tragic. But there are answers. And on the national stage, for some strange reason, we don't seem to look at the real answers or real solutions. All we want to do is promote more gun control, which is what, in my opinion, I don't want to say gun control caused the problem, but it certainly made it worse. Why don't we look towards real answers and real solutions that historically work? I don't get it. I don't understand. It seems like the worse things get, the more we ignore the truth, the more we just bury our head in the sand and won't even look at reality. Folks, the truth is the right to keep and bear arms is codified in our supreme law. It is the law of the land. Why would the president of the United States and others who swore an oath to that supreme law then do their very best to disarm the American people? It's crazy. Right? France was warned about terrorists twice before the strike. They knew about this. Right? Anti-Islam protests break out across France. All right? Where do we go from here? What do we do? What is the answer? You know, everybody wants to now just be against the refugees. I don't blame them. People are fearful. How do we replace fear with faith? How do we literally act as the Savior would, clothe the naked, feed the hungry, etc., but yet not aid and abet terrorists? Alabama governor says Syrian refugees can't come here. Obama hopes for 100,000 refugees pouring in per year. 100,000. Flashback on immigration union. No doubt foreign terrorists are entering the country. Rand Paul says that Marco Rubio voted against refugee screening. Wow, now shots are fired into a family's home in Florida. Yeah, a Muslim home. See, now there's retaliation. Again, against the innocents. Now ISIS threatens attack on Washington, D.C. Governors across the country are starting to say no to refugees. Trump says we need to look at mosques in the USA. Madonna, love ISIS away. Oh, wow. I don't think you're going to get that done, Madonna. All right. Where do we go? Barack Obama arrives late for a moment of silence on terrorist attacks. Where do we go? What do we do? All right, folks. You know what? We can't run around in a panic. I'm not suggesting we should. I bring this up because, you know what? We've got to really, really face the music now. Okay? What is the answer? If you look at the Bible, if you look at the scripture, God says if they turn to me and repent of their sins and they keep my commandments, I will heal their land. What does that mean, heal their land? I will prosper them, says the scripture. What does that mean to prosper, to have your land healed? I submit to you that it means so many things, it's hard to even explain. It means we'll have crops. It means the storms will be calmed as the Savior did during his ministry. It means protection from our enemies. It means solutions as we reach out and follow the admonition to clothe the hungry or clothe the naked and feed the hungry. Okay, how do we strike this balance between caring for those who are really refugees, but not having terrorists in our midst under the guise of a kind-hearted refugee program? How do you know when to be gentle and kind, and how do you know when to be a hardened warrior? the scriptures give us plenty of guidance, but I submit to you that prayer is your passport to spirituality. Prayer is your guidance to open the door to receive guidance from God. Can God communicate with you? Let me just ask you that question. Can God communicate with you? Well, let's think logically for 2 seconds. There is a term called prayer, and I submit to you that God encourages us to pray to Him, worship Him. If He's given us the channel of prayer to communicate with Him, do you think He'd communicate with us, or would He just want a one-way communication? Just asking. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite News the Networks Refuse to Use radio station, teaming up with RepublicBroadcasting.org and Liberty News Radio.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, before I introduce our guest, we're talking about the terrorist attacks in France. Okay, France has some of the strictest gun control laws in the world. So strict that even the cops aren't armed, ladies and gentlemen. Not that I really believe cops should be armed. That's a different discussion. But I'm just telling you, I mean, it's like a whole country gun-free zone. These people are crazy. And I'm so sad that this happened. Okay, what they experienced is tragic. We grieve with them. But we also need to be smart enough to separate the fact that we grieve with them from this reality that if we don't get a handle on this, hey, it's going to get worse. Okay, we got to learn from this situation that, one, gun control laws are bogus. They only disarm the innocent, ladies and gentlemen, preventing them from defending themselves. A God-given, unalienable right. codified in the Constitution, granted, but it isn't a government-granted privilege. It's a God-given, unalienable right of self-defense, folks. Okay? Had the citizenry been armed, the attackers would not have been able to kill more than a few people before somebody stopped them. Okay? ISIS, quote, also known as the Islamic State, claimed responsibility for the attacks. Just who is ISIS? I've mentioned it last hour, and we'll get into it again. But we should also learn from this that bombing, killing, droning, fighting, foreign intervention, I'm just telling you right now, we're engendering hatred around the world. That's why George Washington, in his farewell address, said, you know what, avoid foreign entanglements. This is a summary, like the plague. Run. Don't get involved. Leave it alone. Stay, you know what? Just be peaceful and stay away. But we won't listen. We got a war mentality going on in America. And right before the pause, I mentioned prayer. We need to pray hard, folks. And I submit to you that prayer is God's way. He's provided for us to communicate with him, to tell him our fears, to tell him our worries, to opportune him for protection and grace, to let him know of our mistakes and to repent before him. And we communicate to God through prayer. And I submit to you that it's not just a two-way communication. God can communicate with us as well. I would never suggest he doesn't have the right to communicate with me. I pray to him, and I hope I'm open-minded enough to listen to his guidance as he asked me to serve others and care for my family, and I depend on his guidance. All right, Becky Akers with us, well-known anarchist, also author of two books, Hailstorm and Abducting Arnold, both revolutionary new novels. Buy them before they're banned today. Get your loved one a Christmas present. Hailstorm and Abducting Arnold. Becky, welcome to Liberty Roundtable.
Thank you, Sam. It's always an honor and a privilege.
Before we get started on this ISIS thing, because I know you want to go off, I don't blame you. I'm livid about this, because no one's even talking about the truth here, what needs to be done. All we're doing is going the wrong direction more, and we're going to get more of what we got if we keep going that direction, which is the saddest part of it all. But I submit to you that God has provided a way for us to communicate with him, and it's prayer. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The Lord is... Prayer is so important. The Lord actually even gave us a model and told us specifically, here's how to pray. We start off with praise. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. Praise to your name. And your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're to pray for God's will to be done, which, of course, does not involve praying for government, no matter how many churches tell you otherwise.
Well, and it's also important to understand that our goal is to learn to make our will his will, right?
Exactly. We want to pray for the things the Lord wants. And what the Lord desires is the salvation of the entire world. So we're to pray for that. And then we're to present our needs to him, our daily bread. And we're asked to ask him to deliver us from the evil one and to forgive our sins as we forgive those who have trespassed against us, and to avoid further evil. And then we conclude with more praise, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Absolutely. Prayer is incredibly important. All we have to do is look at the life of Christ and how much time he spent in prayer. The Bible will frequently tell us he went away from everyone to pray. He went to a solitary place to pray. He spent all night in prayer. Prayer is indispensable to anyone who is serious about not only this world, but the world to come.
A wise man said, prayer is your passport to spirituality. If you want to commune with God on your knees, is one of the best places to do it. We're admonished in the scripture to have a prayer in our heart always as well, right?
The Bible tells us, pray without ceasing. We should always be in a state of prayer. We should always be in the back of our mind communing with God, and then at various times in the day that should come to the forefront where we drop everything, fall to our knees, and pray. Absolutely.
Now, I believe God can communicate with us and can give us guidance of what we ought to do in terms of raising our family and in terms of repenting and apologizing. A lot of times he'll touch our hearts through our conscience of what we ought to do. And I think he communicates with us through scripture and many other ways.
I am careful about saying many other ways, because then, Sam, we're living in this age now where, quote, spirituality is very important to people. And they are very fond of saying, you know, I don't need to go to church. I just go out into nature and I commune with God, and he speaks to me on the golf links. So I go golfing on Sunday morning. Well, this is anti-scriptural. God tells us very plainly in his word that he communicates with us through his word, that all we need for salvation is in his word, his scripture, the Holy Bible. We do not go outside of that to hear communication from God. And again, I want to stress that, Sam, because I run into so many people now. Well, I don't need the Bible. I don't need church. I just go out and God speaks to me. So I want to make that very clear that this is not a scriptural attitude. And Jesus Christ himself never portrayed that either. He communicated in prayer with his Heavenly Father, and he expects us to do the same and told us to do the same. He did not say, "Our Father who art in heaven, and you know what? I got to go now because I'm going to go out in nature and commune with you." No, we go through the Lord's Prayer and we seek God's guidance through his revealed scripture.
There's no doubt we seek guidance through his revealed scripture for sure. One of the things that Jesus Christ said, which I find interesting, is he said, "I only do what you see, what I see my Father do before me." In other words, he made his will his Father's will. And he basically said, "You know what? I don't want to die on this cross. I don't want to go through the Garden of Gethsemane. It's hard, but I will make my will your will. Thy will be done, Father." He clearly said that. And I guess the question kind of is in your mind, how did he know what God's will was?
Well, because he is God. So he knows the triune God is three in one, but we always have to stress that one. They are one. Our finite minds cannot comprehend this eternal mystery. But he is God. He is fully God and fully man. Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity, fully God, fully man. So he clearly understood and approved of the Godhead's plans that were laid before the foundations of the world to save sinful mankind. But you know, it's fascinating to me, Sam, speaking of prayer, how many political conservatives I run into here in New York. Now, we have a large Muslim population in New York, and many of the Muslim men man fruit carts on the street. And they sell fruits and vegetables from these carts. So you see them all the time, every couple of blocks when you're out and about in New York City. And I have often seen these Muslim men roll out their prayer rugs. Business stops, they get down, and they pray. Do you know, Sam, in all my years in New York City, I have never seen any Christian anywhere in a restaurant say grace before his meal, not ever once. Yet I've seen many Muslims get down and pray on the filthy, dirty sidewalk, stopping their business. What a lesson to all of us. Here are people so devoted to a false god that they will suspend profit-making, and they will prostrate themselves on filthy sidewalks. And Christians sitting at leisure in a restaurant before their meal can't be bothered to say a gracious note of thanks to the Lord who provides it.
A valuable lesson there for sure. And how do we relate this to our lives, to our families, to countries, and to what we ought do? And we need to start out by understanding what the proper role of government really is. And creating ISIS is not one of them. We're going to take that on next because it's a critical understanding. It violates scripture to create a terrorist group? All right, Becky Akers, our guest in seconds.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0-degree sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold 2 adults and 1 child or 4 young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. and it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season, like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking to Becky Akers. We're talking about ISIS, but she also wrote some incredible books. Abducting Arnold's one of them, The Real Tale of Benedict Arnold. Some things you may not even know, historically speaking, about Benedict. Was he our enemy? How about Hailstorm? Talking about Nathan Hale, one of the greatest patriots to ever live. Incredible new novels available now. Just type in Becky Akers, Hailstorm, or Abducting Arnold, and you'll find them. Make great Christmas gifts. Buy them before they're banned today. All right, we're talking about ISIS, otherwise known as the Islamic State. Now they don't call it ISIS, they just call it IS. Because what's weird is you got ISIS, a similar sounding name for the Immigration Service kind of a thing, and it's kind of weird. So now they just call it IS. Nevertheless, the point to drive home here hard is they took credit for this. Now, the government, the United States government, is what created Al-Qaeda slash ISIS slash whatever. They've funded, they've armed. Back in the day, they used to just call them the rebels against this, quote, tyrannical governments in the Middle East, whoever they be. The players change, but the idea remains the same, that we somehow arm our... So, well, they're not really our friends. They're just less bad than the other guy. Later evolve into our biggest enemies. And we really have funded and created the problem that we then claim we're out to fix. But every time we're out to fix it, we just greater empower the problem or the enemy in the first place. Governments have done this through the history of the world, Becky, forever.
Oh, absolutely. I often say, Sam, that the United States is very much following the trajectory of Nazi Germany. And this is what Nazi Germany did. It attacked neighboring countries and tried to take them over and hoped to spread its way of life into surrounding countries. Well, the United States is doing that. We haven't yet attacked our neighbors. But aside from that small detail, we are very much following that path. We go into sovereign nations. We try to take them over. We aren't always as obvious about it as the Nazis were. Now, the Nazis relied very much on their armies and then settlers. They would actually transport.
But we even refer to the same terms like shock and awe, etc.
Etc. Absolutely. And we talk about the homeland, just as the Nazis did. But we're doing the same thing a bit more subtly. You know, for decades now, the United States has bribed sovereign nations with, quote, foreign aid. You dance to our tune, you do what we tell you to do, and we'll send you lots of money. You elect the people we want in power to run your country the way we want it run. Okay, so we've got that foreign aid. Occasionally, the United States does do something so obvious as to rely on its own army. We've done that in Iraq and in Afghanistan. But often, the United States government has created forces like ISIS and hidden behind something like that to go in and foment terror, to mount a false flag attack, to do all kinds of things. We the people, would rise up in outrage if a foreign government did that here. Why are we permitting our government to do that to other people?
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It's a serious problem, and most people don't really realize that Al-Qaeda, ISIS, was created by their own government. We claim how evil it is, and we claim how we got to stop it. We got to this, we got to that, we got to... But we're the ones that created it. Now, I'm not saying that we are the only ones, but we certainly were involved in a funding, in a training, in every aspect that's core to the creation thereof, right?
Sam, I'll tell you what. You often hear now various people, because of Ed Snowden's revelations of the NSA's 24/7 eavesdropping on every person on the planet, you'll often hear people talk about reforming the surveillance agencies and the security agencies. We need reform. We need laws restraining them. We don't need anything of the kind. We need to abolish every single one of them, from the CIA to the NSA. We need to abolish
absolutely
all these cloak and dagger agencies that go around sowing such mayhem as we have just seen in
Paris. It's kind of like the war on drugs and every other thing. The more they promote that they're against something, the greater it grows. And you got to really start to back into the discussion of what is their real agenda here. The more we supposedly fight the war on terror, the stronger the terrorists get at our own hand.
Oh, and that's all by design, because the latest thing, of course, is ISIS has come out with this new video, and they're going to launch attacks on the United States. And I just sat reading this and laughing, thinking, could there be a more opportune moment for the surveillance state that is currently under so much attack in this country from outraged citizens who don't want their phone calls eavesdropped on and don't want their emails read by the government? That very institution, the whole surveillance state, the whole security apparatus is rising up now to tell us ISIS is going to come here. You know what? You better get on your knees, and thank God you've got spies and spooks like us willing to eavesdrop on you all the time, because otherwise you're going to wind up dead, just like the Parisians. Is this not the most ham-fisted, Machiavellian manipulation of public opinion to massacre hundreds of people overseas and then put out a video and threaten to do the same thing here if we don't kowtow to them and beg their forgiveness and tell them how wonderful it is that they love us so much, they eavesdrop on us constantly so that they don't kill us? This is absurd. This is insanity.
But we continue to just back that agenda, and the more psychotic it seems, the more we tend to just blindly back it.
I think what you're seeing, Sam, is also the fruit of over a century of public schooling. You know, Americans have been so dumbed down, they don't seem to be able to put two and two together anymore. The U.S. funded ISIS. The U.S. established ISIS. ISIS is killing people in Paris. ISIS just made a video threatening to do the same thing here. Now, who profits from that? Who gets a bigger budget from Congress next year when videos that ISIS is going to perpetrate Parisian attacks in the U.S. start scaring the gutless media, which then in turn terrifies the gutless American sheeple? Come on, this is not brain surgery. Put it together. It makes sense to say, you know what? It's all a phantom. I'm not going to buy this anymore.
All right, Tony Cartolucci, he's an author for Liberty Roundtable, and he wrote an article. And I think it's brilliant in its delivery, but it basically, the headline says this: attack in France, state-sponsored terror. But which state? Tony Cartolucci. He brings this out like no other. There's very few of us that have the guts to really call a spade in the media and really nail what's going on here, Becky. Very few of us.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the reasons, Sam, I know we've mentioned this before, but one of the reasons you're not going to find this sort of thing in the corporate media is because the government, the feds, the state and local governors and mayors and everything will cut off their access to the state-generated news. In other words, if I worked for ABC and I went out and I said, there's very positive indication here that the United States government is behind these attacks in Paris. I have a telex here that says the CIA possibly was fomenting this for months and now has brought... Okay, the first thing that's going to happen is my press credentials to get into the White House are going to be yanked. I will no longer be able to report on what Obama says in his press conferences, as if any of us care, okay? But that's the first thing that's going to happen to me, and the second thing that's going to happen to me is I'm going to be on a breadline because I can't earn a living anymore because no other place is going to hire me, and ABC News has no further interest in me if I can't get into the White House to report. So therefore, I have gone from hotshot reporter to a poverty-stricken welfare recipient, okay? No reporter in his right mind wants to do that, so everybody plays the game.
That just proves I'm not in my right mind.
I'm sorry?
I said that just proves I'm not in my right mind.
There you go. But that's why you don't have CBS, ABC, and NBC banging down your door, Sam, to get you to come report for them.
They've actually tried to get us to come report for them. They just have rules that we won't agree to, so we said no. But the big boys have asked us to become their stooges, and we flat out refuse. So, attack in France, state-sponsored terror. The question is, which state? Liberty Roundtable columnist Tony Cartolucci brings that up. Now, next headline that I find fascinating, again, is from my own news service. LibertyRoundtable.com has about 25-plus columnists that write for us. And the next headline is written by Henry Mankow, and it says this, refugees are political pawns. Again, I couldn't agree more, Becky.
Oh, absolutely. I feel so sorry for these refugees. They are as innocent as the people that were gunned down in Paris. They too are suffering from the actions of the United States government and other governments. And Sam, you know what really infuriates me is that once these governments make these folks homeless, and let's all put ourselves in their situation, let us pretend that the Mexican army has just surged up from Mexico and is invading Utah, Sam, and you and your family have to get out of their way. So you run for Canada, and the Canadians say, oh, sorry, we've got enough people already. You can't come in because you know what? You'll go on welfare.
The problem is, how do you create a balance between following the Savior's admonition to clothe the naked and feed the hungry and take care of the refugees, but yet not aid and abet terrorism? We'll talk about it. Becky Akers in seconds.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
We're talking to Becky Akers, ladies and gentlemen, well-known guest on Liberty Roundtable Live, well-known columnist rejecting the NSA and the government abuse of the citizens' rights to privacy under their own person, if you will. She's also author of incredible novels, Hailstorm, that's one of them, Abducting Arnold, that's another. Buy them before they're banned. Type into Google, Becky Akers, Hailstorm, Becky Akers, Abducting Arnold, and you'll get them. Check them out today. Incredible books. But Becky, I kind of want to drill into this. How do we follow the Savior's admonition to be kind and take care of those who are in need? Many of the refugees are in need. At the same time, though, how do we prevent terrorism from just basically taking advantage of the refugees, joining their ranks, and coming into America or elsewhere and creating terrorist acts such as France?
Well, all of it's tied up in the fact that we ought to be protesting and resisting and working to abolish government. Because let's examine why so many people hate immigrants and don't want them in their country, okay? What do immigrants do? They come in and steal jobs. And in fact, most countries have laws against that. But why would you steal a job? Do any of us own our job? And if I work for a company and I'm fired because I'm incompetent, does it matter whether the company hires another American or hires somebody from Iraq to do my job? I mean, how am I better off?
They should hire the best qualified person.
If the company hires an American, what difference does it make to me? I'm still out of a job. If I'm competing for a job with five other people and two of them are Mexican and two of them are from Afghanistan and the Afghani gets hired, how does that, how am I out? I didn't own that job. I was simply competing to work someplace and somebody better is hired. Does it make a difference if the guy's born in Iraq instead of America?
Well, I thought we believed in competition, right?
Well, how does that damage me? I'm always mystified by this. He stole a job. You know, immigrants steal jobs. How do they steal jobs? Let's also examine the fact that most immigrants work at jobs no American will take, okay? I don't see too many Americans standing in line to be migrant agricultural workers. I don't see too many Americans standing in line to sell fruit on the streets of New York City, Sam. It's incredible to me. Exclusively immigrants doing that job. They work 12
hours. Same with taxi drivers. The list goes on and on.
Yes. So all of these abuses of the refugees stem from government. Governments have laws that prohibit us from working, okay? I can't go out and get a
job. And if we had downsized government significantly, we wouldn't have had them creating ISIS with their unlimited funding. And if they didn't create ISIS, we wouldn't have the terrorist attacks. We also wouldn't even have the refugee crisis, right?
That's correct. And if we didn't have government minimum wage laws, all of us could get jobs. We wouldn't have to worry about other people stealing our jobs. If we didn't have government outlawing entire industries, you know, Sam, we had an interesting government usurpation here in Manhattan. There are plenty of private bicycle rentals. Okay, there are bicycle shops in Manhattan. You can go and get your bicycle repaired. You can rent a bike to ride around Central Park if you like. And you know what the mayor did recently? Went and put through city-owned bicycle rentals. Okay? So right there, we have government putting, and of course, now I'm assuming this. Let me be very clear about that. I have not investigated this. I assume to rent a city bike, they're called, is cheaper than if I were to go to a bicycle rental shop. I'm not positive, but I'm assuming that.
Well, it's cheaper on the front where you believe you're renting it, but the truth is it probably costs 10 times as much with the taxpayer subsidies and everything else.
Precisely. My out-of-pocket cost is
cheaper.
Okay.
Sure.
What has that done? That has thrown an entire private industry out of business, okay? We have the same thing with airport security, okay? The government came in, and this isn't a good example because airport security was already mandated by the feds, okay? An airline and airports had to hire security guards because the feds will not let them operate otherwise. But, okay, they were hiring private security guards. Now the feds come in and annihilate that industry by federalizing that workforce and allowing it to sexually assault us. We now call that the TSA. Okay, so government destroys jobs all over the place in many, many different ways. Look at the damage inflation does our economy and how many people are out of jobs because the company can no longer afford them because of inflation, okay, and minimum wage. All of these things impact refugees and the rest of us. All of us need to rise up and throw off government. We need to say, good politicians and bureaucrats are the enemies of all mankind. They hurt me every day in my life, and they have just made these refugees' lives untenable because of their war and because of their restrictions against fleeing. Okay, that's really what anti-immigration laws are. They are laws against people fleeing dangerous situations, untenable situations, okay? Because of that and because of their employment, their stranglehold on employment, that when you do finally get out of a war zone and you get someplace safe, you are prohibited by law from getting a job there, so you have to go on welfare, and then what happens? Well, you no good, worthless scum, you're sucking down my tax dollars. This is how government pits us against each other. Why is this so hard for people to grasp? Our enemy is government. It's not terrorists and it's not refugees. It is government.
Well, and the government oftentimes are the terrorists. But so Becky and I disagree on a couple of things slightly, ladies and gentlemen. I want to point them out really quick. She wants to get rid of all government. I want to get rid of all unconstitutional government. So we've got so much to work on together that we're partnering up to get that done, and we'll talk about it once we've got the job done. We need your help in getting that done as well. We also slightly disagree. I believe God can talk to man, and he does today. It's called modern revelation. Becky believes that only through the Bible would God speak to us. And I'm not really here to debate our differences. I want to highlight them so people understand. But the question is, does God speak to us? If so, how, when, and where? I believe God can guide our actions, and whether you just look in the Bible for that direction or Revelation, I believe that the two would be congruent. That's just my personal belief. But Becky's right. We need to be very careful what sources we gain information from and how we go about it, and we will all agree that unconstitutional government is the problem. And we also need to just mention that the United States government did create ISIS, and now ISIS took credit for the murders that took place. Where's the accountability? Where's the righteous indignation of Americans standing up and saying, uh-uh? Now, I'll give you another headline, Becky, that I want you to sound off on before the end of the hour. ACLU rolls out new apps to turn smartphones into, quote, citizen body cams. I'm going to say that again. ACLU rolls out new apps to turn smartphones into, quote, citizens body cams. They take video and then they send it straight to the ACLU, Becky. You just can't comprehend this stuff almost, huh?
I bet that has the brave boys in blue trembling in their boots.
I mean, the whole idea, it's just like good cop, bad cop running around. It's all crazy. They're all the same people. You're reporting on your enemy as your friend, and it's so mixed up. Americans don't even know where to turn.
You know, Sam, it's I have no no patience, no affection, no tolerance for cops. They are thugs in uniform. They are out there killing us. The difference now is everybody talks about the militarization of police. Let me say, police were always militarized. It's just if you were a white American, you usually didn't experience it. Here's the difference now. Cops are treating all of us as though we're black. All of us. As though we're disenfranchised and marginalized.
Okay. And all of us as enemy combatants or lone wolves.
And but they always have. Let's be very clear about that. They always have treated people that were too poor, too black, too Hispanic to protest. They have always treated them the way they're treating white people now. That's where the difference is coming. Cops have always been militarized. They've always been armed, walking among us, stalking among us, killing people with impunity as long as they were black and poor. Okay? We all need to realize that. This doesn't legitimize the Black Lives Matter movement or anything like that. That's not my point. My point is that cops, by their nature, are incompatible with a free people. Free people do not have armed agents of the state stalking among them, spying on them, looking for what they're doing that might possibly threaten the government. Okay? Sam, you know the fellow here, Garner, here in New York City, who was arrested by the cops and held in a chokehold and murdered right on the street by the cops, okay, and caused a huge uproar here, okay? Garner was selling loose cigarettes. That was his crime, okay? Selling cigarettes without the tax that goes to the state. For that, the state murdered him. That's what cops do, okay? Garner was not a threat to me. He wasn't a threat to you, Sam. Didn't ever harm anyone in his life. All he was doing was selling loose cigarettes. That's what cops do. They go and they find someone who is no threat but is threatening the state's revenue. And then they come down on him, okay? And they murdered this man. He was black. This is how black people who violate the state's rules and regulations, who threaten the state's power, have always been treated by cops.
The answer is clear, ladies and gentlemen. Self-governing individuals need less government. And the way to be self-governed is turn to God for guidance, obey his commandments, receive his protection as we do so. And then, as we are self-governed, we just simply dismantle unnecessary government that turns into abuse and tyranny. Becky, do we agree?
This government is not even a necessary evil. It is an unnecessary evil, and it is always evil all the time.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the keys to Liberty Roundtable, one of the keys to America is we can agree, we can disagree. But the importance is dialogue and for you to come to your own understanding and then work on solutions together. Becky, thank you.
Thank you, Sam. It's always an honor and a privilege.
There she goes. Her two books, Abducting Arnold and Hailstorm. Buy them before they're banned today. Type in Becky Akers and Hailstorm or Abducting Arnold. All right, Liberty Roundtable Live. We the people can restore our republic. It's going to be a road to hoe, that's for sure. But I submit to you, LibertyRoundtable.com, this nation shall endure.